Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
Hello and welcome to Two in the Think Tank, the show where we come up with five sketch ideas. I'm Andy.
And I'm Alistair George William Trombley Birchall.
And joining us in the tank
is
friend of the tank,
podcaster, host.
Slightly podcaster.
Yeah.
The host of three episodes, but there's like
Many episodes
that are half episodes.
There's four now.
I apologize.
We're at four.
Yeah.
Four complete
episodes. You recorded
one
just while you were talking, man.
Yeah. Brian Kalowa.
Brian.
Hi. Hello.
Hi. Thank you so much for being on the program.
Yeah. It's a joy to be here.
And the thing is that there is so much joy in your voice. And I can hear it.
It really comes across.
Does it?
Yeah, absolutely. It's so nice to have the same kind of enthusiasm brought in that I bring to the show.
Yeah, well, yeah. I thought what the show needed was more flat, sort of neutral North American accent.
Exactly.
Perfect.
Finally, we can balance out Andy's sort of harsh Australian.
Yeah. Deep Aussie drawl.
It really sort of grates on your eardrums. Mm-hmm. And
wow, it's amazing that you've flown from America to insult me to my face.
But Andy, I mean, I've been
this is the sort of thing that people would normally reserve for Twitter, but you're very constructive and friendly on Twitter.
Yeah, I've been playing the long game.
Yeah. What I'll do is I'll get in there, and then I got some things to say.
Yeah.
I could hardly say anything worse about your voice than what you said about it yourself.
Oh, really? I don't remember what I've said about my voice, but I do have a low opinion of it generally.
Andy, I think of it as the treble to my bass.
Yeah, I'll take that.
Yeah.
I'm Andy Treble Matthews. Treble Matthews.
And I'm Alistair Trombley's bass troll.
Yeah.
There you go.
Perfect. We did it, Al.
That's perfect. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, is that a sketch idea? I don't think so.
I don't think so. But I was wondering, what would it be like if Australia decided we wanted a new accent?
You know, countries started deciding on it.
Yeah, yeah, like that we would workshop something and then we all start doing one. Mm-hmm. You know, because at the moment, I think we are at risk of, losing our accent to,
us.
I'm already outnumbered.
There's definitely some kind of invasion.
There's some kind of invasion.
Would you say that there's a
A vocal?
A great replacement?
A great replacement, yeah.
Oh, my God. I am so sorry. Do you know what that's a reference to?
I'm sure it's something about white people doing bad stuff.
Yeah. But it's actually white people being replaced by other white people with just slightly different voices.
Is that a thing? Is anyone worried about that? Anyone getting up in arms about just like a vocal transplant?
There's always been here in Australia a thing where people are like, you don't say that, that's an American word.
But we don't have a problem with British words, apparently.
No, absolutely.
Because we love
that. They feel connected even though you're supposed to be separate.
The mother country. Whereas America's like kind of like a brother country.
Yeah, cousin country?
Cousin country, yeah.
A cuck cousin country.
Yeah.
America is your cuck cousin.
Yeah.
Now, let's start calling Caucasians Cuckasians.
Caucasians,
yeah.
Yes.
That's my cultural background.
I mean, I think that's fun. I think anything that will bother the alt-right.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's perfect, isn't it? Like soy boy, more like Cuckasian.
Cuckasians.
Is that anything? Is that a sketch?
Is that your first sketch?
Well,
right?
See, you know, I was thinking about this before the show because I obviously bring no sketch ideas with me into the tank.
Nobody does.
No, but you can't.
No. Well, you can't bring them in. We have a membrane.
Yeah,
an idea-proof membrane.
I mean, yeah, that was easy also because I didn't have any ideas that I had to get filtered out.
That's perfect.
Passed right through. But I was thinking I could contribute just a lot of. Is that a sketch?
Is that a sketch idea?
Is there a sketch in that?
Well, I think we've definitely started tilting more towards finding sketch ideas that bother the alt-right. I think that has started to become a theme.
It could be the mission of the show. But I mean, how is giving them a term like Caucasian, which I believe they would love, how is that bothering them? Well, or are we reclaiming it? Well, are we coming up with it and then like maybe trademarking it so that we have the power over it first? You know, and now if they want to use it, and it's going to be such a tempting word for them to use. If they want to use it, they've got to pay us royalties. So if they want to insult us, they've got to give us $5.
Well, I think these are all great ideas.
Thank you.
Look, I'll even write down cuck Asian.
Great.
Well, now that sounds like you're just saying cuck Asian.
No, well, that's why you don't put a space in there.
Okay, yeah, no, I won't.
You also have to write down the great vocal replacement.
Great vocal replacement.
There's definitely a sketch in there somewhere.
Okay, right.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I think, but back to my... thing, and you've got other stuff to say, Alistair, but I'll just keep going. You know, if we did feel that our accent was at risk of being diluted, we could all agree to move to a different accent, a different, more extreme accent.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that it's harder to dilute, right? Something even more intense. Just make up a new one.
Is that how Scotland became?
I believe
Scotland?
That's what happened to Scotland. Yeah.
Scotland.
Man, they have gone a long way down that path.
I think that they've just refused to budge from where they were a long time ago, whereas everybody else moved far away.
Right.
You know, like everybody else continued to move, continued to, let's say, evolve.
Right.
I don't see how that could be misinterpreted or offensive in any way.
Just to throw it out there.
I mean, look, I come from Quebec where the French... accent there hasn't evolved since the 1500s. And so that's why it still sounds harsh and, you know, almost menacing and horrible. Not that anyone would accuse the Scottish accent of being sounding harsh or menacing.
No. How could you get that from Scotland?
But, you know, so if instead of, you know, like instead of sounding like, mais bonjour, un croissant, s'il vous plaît, like that, I mean, we sound like, hello, croissant tabarnak, like that, right?
Yeah.
So it sounds much more harsher, especially if you yell it instead of sort of say it with a nice soft voice and you change some of the words to the swear words, as I did.
Yeah, no, you really got into it.
But I think, okay, so but in order to have a an accent that we move to as a country, I think, first of all, we have to have that classic scene where everybody's in a boardroom.
Oh, I love it. I love it already. I can see how low the budget will be for filming this.
Exactly. Production costs are down. It seems achievable.
And you know what it is? It's not even people talking about things. It's people talking about talking. And that is going to save us a whole lot more money.
Exactly. We won't even need somebody on the board writing things on the whiteboard.
No, we won't even need a whiteboard marker.
No. Exactly. So we're saving a lot of time with that. We're saving a trip to Officeworks, right? Which, by the way...
And if you don't need the marker, you don't need the eraser.
Oh, my God.
Exactly.
See, you've just halved our costs.
Yeah.
I was going to get an eraser.
And you don't need the little ledge that it sits on?
I mean, the whiteboard, I was just going to...
We were going
to bring in the whiteboard, but I was still going to bring in the ledge. So thank you for saving us on that time. And so now...
I got another idea, by the way, that I got to hold on to. I'm going to write it down on my hand.
Okay,
so do we have to have a table? Well, could we be standing?
Yeah, look, but I think, is that how people...
just against a blank wall?
Okay, so is this around a water cooler? Is that going to involve us having to get a water cooler?
Oh.
See, because I think it's just people standing in a room. It doesn't read as meeting.
It's got to have a formality to it. It's got to have some kind of...
Suits? We're talking suits.
If you want people standing, they could be standing in a crowd while somebody's up on a podium, and it could be a kind of a, you know, maybe a meeting in a park or something like that, but then we might need umbrellas. And,
Well, if we do a table, we can do the suits, but without the pants.
Yeah.
That's good.
That's true. Yes. Yeah, yeah, so that does
keep
save
it all
some time.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. And underwear. We could do it without underwear, without pants. No shoes or socks.
This is
we don't even need actors that have legs. So we can save money on that. So that'll
be
cheaper.
Is that cheaper?
Yeah, I think so.
Well, then you got to have an accessible venue.
Yeah, that's great. Because, okay, I mean, a multi-story level a building will probably be more expensive.
Absolutely.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Now, look.
With the accent.
Okay.
No, with the accent. So we need something that can't be...
Really high pitch. What if we just really tight pitch? We're all talking a falsetto.
So I think that's good. And also, but also something so that you can tell straight away if people aren't talking in the right accent. So there's a high pitch, right? That's a good change. But maybe like, what if your lips are really closed like this, and you have to talk through a little circle. You have to talk through a little circle.
You're sounding a little New Zealand.
Well, yeah. No, but I'm not. I'm actually talking through a little circle. It's actually, you're forming an island. You're forming an island with your mouth like this. And but you're also talking like this. And so nobody's going to accuse you of being a derivative of any other countries.
Now you just sound like a Monty Python doing a female.
Well, the Monty Python female accent,
nobody's doing that. No nation has claimed that.
Exactly. Yeah. And now that, women can be cast in comedy, that's up there for grabs.
Exactly.
That's just lying idle. It's Eric Idle. Thank you. I'm going to go and kill myself.
Wait, not yet. You got to say it with a squeaky voice.
I'm going to go and kill myself now.
I mean, oh my God. I think, and we've talked about this in the past, the idea that if armies had sillier costumes, we'd be less likely to go to war. Mm-hmm. I believe that was something we talked about. Brian?
Yes.
Yeah, great. But I think also if we all were talking in a high-pitched voice at all times, we'd be much less likely to plan wars, you know? Or at least if anyone did try and incite one, we'd be much less likely to take them seriously.
Yeah. Well, I think you also have to...
You can't preach
but
hate.
But that's a big challenge, though, because if you want to adopt this accent, we do want people to take people seriously sometimes.
Well, that's right. Well, and I think you have to take the accent seriously because we have to ingrain nationalism into it, and that if you don't do it, you're un-Australian.
That's true. That was the whole point of this whole thing.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Exactly. And so
we're doing this out of hate. I didn't realize we were doing this to divide.
No, this is really this episode is really we're turning into ideas for things that the alt-right will actually enjoy.
We'll love. I mean, the high-pitched voice they might struggle to get behind, but maybe that'll carry well, you know, across sort of rallies and that sort of thing. Does it? No, it's bass sounds that travel.
Well, in water at least.
In water. Yeah. Are we also living underwater?
Well, we can.
Are we becoming dolphins? It sounds like we're trending towards dolphins.
Yeah, the thing is about dolphins.
No, but look, I had this other thought that I wanted to go for the Caucasian thing.
Sorry, yeah.
Yes.
Do you think dolphins used to just
talk like us?
Normal accent.
Talk like us.
Like a normal accent.
But then,
like
the dolphins looked around, they looked at us, they said, oh, we don't want to be like them anymore.
Yeah. They realized they were becoming too much accent. Like us.
Well, yeah, I mean, that could just be somebody, they could have made a decision really early on. I think maybe early man and early dolphin probably were much more similar. The sounds, you know, before there was proper language, we probably would have been a lot more like, hey, 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 like that. And then we would have been like, oh, we got to, well, the dolphins were like, that's too close to us.
Who's to say what happened first, you know, the talking in a high-pitched voice or the developing of flippers and living underwater?
Exactly.
You know, maybe one drove the other. Maybe it was the high-pitched voice that drove them into the seas.
Well, these sea mammals, they did come from the land, right?
Mm.
Yeah. So that could have been where we split off, just due to an accent dispute.
Sea mammals or camels. Now, let's think about what I just said.
Okay, no way.
No.
It took me a while. I had to actually see the letter C, you know?
God.
Or camels.
I laughed initially, but...
But then with the benefit of hindsight, you'd like to...
I'd like to retract.
Yeah, would you like us to edit that
I'd like
that
to
out?
Take that back and save it for something Al's going to say later.
Thank you.
Invest it in...
Yeah, I'd like to diversify.
We actually have a 14-second cooling-off period on any laughs on this show. So regret your purchase...
Yeah, we allow for the mistakes of laughing on rhythm alone. You know, like laughing in response to rhythm.
I'm going to call one of my comedy festival shows Laughing on Rhythm Alone.
Laughs from Rhythm Alone, So look, with this Caucasians thing,
yes,
I think because we're sort of like humorously mocking Caucasians and the alt-right with this, right? And that is actually exactly how they recruit people into their ISIS-style extremism.
Oh, fuck.
Using irony. And so you got to start this kind of, this use that same technique right back at them so that we can start recruiting people into our extremist moderateness.
Yeah. Can we use kind of like social isolation and sort of, I don't know, disgusting videos to somehow radicalize people into the center?
See, I don't know. I guess I can just be the, I'll be the audience.
You can be the arbiter. You can also throw in ideas.
I'll be the audience. Yeah. I'll be the audience surrogate here.
Sure.
Just to let you know.
You will birth the entire audience from your womb in Thailand for $20,000.
$20,000, that's not too bad.
That's brilliant. No, actually what I've done is I've gotten you an audience. They're just at a different show.
That's nice. Well, thank
you. So I just brokered. So the surrogate,
Right, you're an
is the other show.
Yeah,
they're
that's perfect.
Gestating your audience for you.
Sweet. Yeah.
But you've done Alt Center.
We have.
We had a sketch idea before.
Yeah. I apologize.
So we're getting dangerously close to stuff that we can't write down.
Yeah, I mean,
really good. You're a very valuable voice to have on this podcast because we barely remember anything we do. Yeah, we definitely come up with the same sketch ideas sometimes on subsequent weeks.
Yeah, but I do have a really great idea.
Yeah,
involving a Mongolian barbecue.
No.
Episode one, episode three. Mongolian barbecue. It's an early one. My God, those were the days. Anything was possible. Now, anything is. We'd take anything,
but
which is very different.
In that other sketch idea, did we talk about using extreme techniques, recruitment techniques, to get people
probably
into the Alt Center?
Maybe. I don't remember that far.
But can I pitch a couple of things that I've written on my hand?
You know what? You can.
All right. I've written opposite whiteboard. Now, I don't know that this is an actual...
I'm not thinking of a blackboard.
What I'm thinking is that the bit that does the marking is the eraser, right? So that's basically a huge flat felt tip whiteboard marker, right? And then the pen itself is just a tiny little eraser, pen shaped eraser. So when you finished, you mark over the whole board with black whiteboard marker again, and then when you want to write, you erase it using the little tiny little eraser.
That's just a relief etching, right?
It is, yeah. It's, but what it will do is it'll allow you to inhale so much more whiteboard fumes, which is really the only reason you do anything, I believe. The only reason people get into teaching, brainstorming, board meetings in the first place.
Oh, imagine how sad you'd be, you've got your teaching degree, you've done all that, you put in the work, you've racked up your debts, you get a job, you walk into school, you walk into your classroom, and there's a blackboard.
Oh, just chalk?
And just chalk.
You can't get any buzz off that at all.
Yeah, it seems like maybe at the
maybe
very
crushing
least
it up and snorting it.
Well, I think it feels
seeing
like
seeing what you could get out of it.
It feels like chalk is one of those things that you could probably get like asbestitis from.
Sure you can.
That we don't. We just haven't. It hasn't become a big thing yet.
Yeah. Well, because teachers dying isn't really an.
That's not something the government is worried about.
No. In fact, it's probably good because you can't fire teachers. You know, once they're in the system, it's very difficult to get rid of them. So if we could introduce some kind of just toxin into the teaching environment, kids are only in there for a maximum of 6 years, 12 years maybe.
So they'll be fine.
But teachers, I reckon once they get to 20 years, you really need them to drop off because there's no way they're still engaged.
Well, and I don't know what the situation is in Australia, but in the
it's
US...
bad.
In the U.S., we do have a problem where a lot of people, young people with teaching degrees, have trouble finding a teaching job. So this is also job creation.
Yeah. Yeah, but we also have a problem with teachers not sticking around as well, right? A lot of teachers quit after 2 or 3 years. So you've got this problem of you don't keep your young teachers, but then the old teachers have been there for a long time, you can't get rid of them. So what we need, right, is we need something that is like the whiteboard marker, which is a little bit, does give you a bit of a buzz and is slightly addictive, that keeps people coming back, right, but then over the long term kills you.
That's good, yeah. So math?
So, yeah.
Math.
So there's quite a lot of hardcore drugs available to us in that realm.
Yeah, really. We've been doing the research, but we just haven't employed this technology. And drugs are a technology.
Yeah, and it kind of has to be basically like the opposite of like Coke's trajectory. So things that we already use, like whiteboard markers, right? Instead of like, you know, Coke starting with, this may be a myth, but that Coke started with having sort of cocaine or coca leaf or something like that.
In Coca-Cola. Sure.
Yeah, sorry, Coca-Cola. And then it got taken out. Well, this one, you kind of have, we have whiteboard markers. They kind of have a little something, but we know it's not, it's pretty much harmless. But over time, we start increasing the amount of meth that we put in there.
Which makes sense. If I was a whiteboard marker company, I'd be doing that already.
Especially with the invent of like smart screens and even any kind of screen.
You got to fight back.
Yeah, you got to stay competitive.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So look.
And phones, screens are already addictive. Right, it's just a different kind of addiction. So I think it's only fair that you level the playing field and
maybe a whiteboard marker that gets notifications as well.
Just buzzes or something?
Occasionally buzzes and you gotta look at it and he goes, oh yeah, you're running low on meth and this thing. I don't know what the notifications, but that's how they get your brain.
That's how
hooked.
You get you. Yeah.
So like, what am I writing here?
You're writing deadly teaching supplies.
Deadly. Right?
Addictive.
Addictive yet deadly.
Yeah.
Teaching supplies. Post-it notes, whatever it
and,
is.
And did we want to write down inverse whiteboard?
I mean,
reverse
it's
whiteboard? Or?
The inverse whiteboard is a fun technology. Can we think of maybe it's the first person to come up with the whiteboard?
That's kind of what it feels like. It feels like it's a proto-whiteboard.
And that's how it was originally done.
The board is white. But really, you black it out straight away.
Yeah.
You know, and you kind of just... And it's just a big pot of ink that you just would just dunk this sort of like sponge into and you would go... like that. And then you would... And the whiteboard marker was just a stick that you would scratch the ink off of with. Like that. And you go, this is the easiest thing. And it's better than whiteboard because it doesn't give you that chalk-itis thing.
And the ink would have been made with a little bit of uranium because... You know,
absolutely.
You got to kill off the teachers.
Well, everything, you know, early whatever.
Oh yeah,
it's, right. It's like a little bit of uranium in here ought to spice things
something
up.
It just made that white glow when you scratched it off.
I loved people's early attitude to uranium, which was
it's incredible.
This has got a lot of energy in it. That must be good in some way.
Let's put it in paint.
Yeah.
Surround ourselves
with
it.
Put it in paint?
Yeah,
put it in paint.
What are the applications?
For glow-in-the-dark paint, I think, right?
No, it's just normal paint.
Just put in normal paint.
I was recently in New Mexico, and I went to a uranium mine, and they had a little museum and some little nuggets you could look at. And
why did you go to a uranium mine?
I have a nephew who's...
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Seven or eight.
And you got to get them in there. You got to get them close to the uranium early on. Otherwise
they don't get hooked and they won't go into teaching.
Yeah.
No, he was obsessed with uranium, so we had to go.
The uranium bug does bite very early. Yeah.
You'll see.
My kids.
Your kids will get there.
Yeah. I hope so. Fingers crossed.
And what does regular uranium look like? Anything?
It's kind of like a yellowish rock.
Yeah, is it glow?
Is that yellow cake? Is that why you call yellow cake? Remember yellow cake?
That's
that
was
a big deal.
They mash it up and then they do whatever and then, and that makes it into yellow cake.
Okay.
I guess. I didn't pay too much attention to all the details.
But that would have been a uranium ore because uranium itself presumably is a metal. Like, I reckon if you had pure uranium...
Yellow cake is what goes into the thing and then becomes...
Gets refined.
Whatever you need to then blow people up with it.
Blow people up with it.
Or warm them up using nice, warm, fission-based
I mean, boil them up with it is just about the same function,
right? Have we explored boiling as a weapon of war? Have we done anything with this, you know? I mean,
all you need is a kettle.
I'm almost certain probably somebody has.
I think that's what cauldrons were initially for.
In castles, they would drop boiling water down the little holes.
Or boiling oil.
Whatever, murder holes, I think is what they called them.
Yeah, the murder pipe.
Murder.
It was more of a pipe because you used it for water.
Death tube.
Death tube. Yeah, but sometimes it was just scald tube.
No, but you got to keep the murder in there so that people know it's intentional.
That's right, yeah. No, that's
death true. Tube, but it could just be an accident.
A lot of the time it was just a blind tube, because people can't help but look inside a hole. You know, they can't help but put their little eye in hole. Even in the middle of battle, you go, I wonder what's in that hole, like that. And then there's just a guy up there watching, and then he pours the kettle down. Like, like that, you go, ah, my eye! Like that, I assume.
Yeah, no, it's a human instinct, and you're exactly right.
Curiosity boiled the eyeball.
That was the
that's the old saying.
Mm. That was the early version of the saying.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That was before people had domesticated animals.
The eyeball really does seem like it's something that could be boiled and then cracked open, and
or at least just like it seems like something you could cook, and it would be pretty nice in a salty broth.
No, it doesn't seem that way at all.
No?
No.
Well, you just say that's because of your vegetarian tendencies.
Yeah.
But you
that's
know,
all they are these days is tendencies.
Yeah. I mean, I think the eyeball is not that... It's just kind of like a firmer egg.
You see them in the jars and they look like they've been pickled a little bit. You think I could just...
You see them in the jars.
Yeah. You know what I don't like when you see eyeballs in a jar? Is all the extra meat that's still attached to them.
Yeah, that's the bad part. Please. You're right. If it's just the eyeball, you're surely thinking, where's the toothpicks? Let me poke one of those in.
Any extra meat. I don't like muscle that holds on to eye. I don't want that being on there. Oh, that muscle would probably be really delicious. But
see, that's what's gross. But if an eyeball just pops out and leaves everything else behind.
Get it out clean. You're just like, oh, nice. I reckon a jar of eyeballs, it'd be fine.
Yeah, it's not a ball itself. The ball is it's one of the most...
It's beautiful.
It's one of nature's greatest, you know, it's like a gemstone mixed with an egg.
Mm. What about like, you have a candy store, sort of crossover with whatever you call it. The kind of store that would sell eyeballs in a jar.
Yeah, sure. And like they put a biology supplies.
And they put the jawbreakers. do you know what jawbreakers are?
Yeah, they're like a...
Do
like
you know what jawbreakers
are? Gobstoppers? Like a gobstopper? Yeah. Just like the big, hard
white ball.
Crazy thing. And you put just like suck on it for ages. Your jaw gets all sore and you're slobbering everywhere.
It's horrible.
But is it a jawbreaker because they're so hard if you just try to crunch
If you try to bite
it,
your jaw will shatter.
Yeah.
It will. It's guaranteed. It will shatter your jaw.
They couldn't call it jawbreaker if it wasn't a guarantee.
Yeah. You're right. No, that's false advertising.
Yeah. And... You know, America's very litigious. Yeah. I'm certain if the jaw didn't break, they'd be facing a lot.
I'm sure there are all sorts of lawsuits in the States from people who weren't injured by products who were hoping to be.
I bet my jaw didn't break.
Yeah.
But then there'd be also people whose jaws did break that they would be then suing. So they really...
They wouldn't be allowed to sue.
No,
it's called jawbreaker.
But shouldn't it be called warning jawbreaker? Because maybe you're not painting it in a bad enough light. You know,
It said jawbreaker, but I thought maybe having my jaw broken would be a good thing.
Yeah, well, you were selling it as an opportunity. There's something about the context here that really implied that that's something I would want.
Yeah,
but now that it has happened,
I don't.
I feel like it's quite limiting in terms of what I can do with my jaw now.
Well, also, the advantage for the jawbreaker company is the people whose jaws have been broken won't be able to say all that.
That is clever.
They've been silent.
So these guys have definitely workshopped this idea for quite a bit of time before. Yeah.
When you mentioned the lolly store before, it made me think that there should be an adult version of a lolly store, which is like a pick and mix pickle store, right? And you go there, and it's exactly the same as a lolly store, but everything's in jars with sort of vinegar, and you get to. You get a little bag and you get to go around and scoop out it like, you know, half a kilo of
I'm almost certain that there is a store like that in Seattle. I don't know if it's pickles, but it's
just imagine
stuff for
the
adults,
smell
like
going
sea
in there,
salt
just that
and
intensity.
Oh yeah, but I mean but it's gotta be pitched as adult candy.
Yeah.
It can't just be like a health food store.
And when we think adult candy, we think, what's the opposite of candy?
Pickles,
like sauerkraut. There'd be a lot of sauerkraut in there. Just like one of those shoots where you normally have like jelly beans and you just sort of pull it out.
Yeah.
And then it pours into the bag.
Sauerkraut just flooding out.
White and purple. Just
Pickled onions, pickled
eggs.
Everything. Everything can be picked. Pickled eggs.
Pickled eyeballs.
Eyeballs. Yeah, sure. They'd be behind the counter though.
I just get those. I just wanted to have a store where you have the jawbreakers and the eyeballs next to each other, and people come in and get confused.
Just
thought maybe There might be a sketch in that.
I think absolutely there could be a sketch in that.
All right.
I mean,
my eyeball jawbreaker store. my eyeball sort of biology lab supply store.
The store's called Eye Candy, right?
Great.
And they sell eyes, and they sell candy.
Is it eyes slash candy?
The candy all looks like eyes as well.
Yeah.
Because it's eye candy.
Of course, yeah.
Really, they should call it eye candy. I/eye candy. But the first eye fell off.
Great. Or the first eye is actually just an eyeball.
Great.
So people don't read it. Mm. A lot of the time you don't read the logo. You don't say, you know, old man with an old southern tie, KFC. Mm. You don't read that part. You just assume that that's not part of the actual name.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, people don't read pictures.
They don't read pictures out loud when they're reading words.
No.
But they do sort of a little bit in text messages now.
Yeah. Yeah, it's funny, isn't it, when you writing a text message and then it comes up with that, you write a word like school.
And the auto...
The autocorrect gives you the little
score
emoji there, so you could click on that. But if you click on that, it takes away the word school and just gives you the picture. And I'm like, I'd never want that. I only ever want the word and then also the emoji, right? Because I don't think that it's actually unambiguous.
You don't understand emoji then.
No. No, I don't.
But when you read emoji, it just occurred to me, you don't see the word really. You kind of you feel it, right? You feel school.
Mm. But sometimes...
And I don't think... feels.
Yeah, I don't like to feel at any schools.
But sometimes they are ambiguous. Things like the school image, I mean...
It could be an old apartment building.
Exactly. Or it could be a school, but that's been renovated and turned into something else.
Is it an elementary school or primary school or whatever
Exactly.
That's right.
Is it a secondary school? Is it a high school?
Yeah. And so now...
Is it a university?
Is it
community college?
The only trouble here, though, now, is that you guys are making these points, but then also when you write the word school, is it a school? Is it a school of fish? You know, it's very confusing, and you kind of have to use context in many ways. You have to use context in many ways, and depending on the context.
Oh, sure.
Determines the kind of way that you're going to use the context.
And the only other thing I've got written down on my hand, and I never do this, by the way, Brian. I don't even think I'm always running things on my hand. It's just there's so many ideas flowing today. Mm-hmm. I don't know what it is, but you've got our juices going.
It's this giant room.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're in a giant room.
Filling the space.
Yeah, we're not in the regular podcast studio, which you might be able to tell from the audio quality.
Yeah, we're actually recording this on the set of Gamey Gamey Game. Evan Munro Smith's video game TV show on the internet, which if you haven't checked out, it's very funny. And Alistair and I have been on a couple of episodes.
And because The Grub, which is Ben Russell's podcast, who was on a few episodes ago, they're all recording up in the podcast studio right now.
So we've been displaced. Mm-hmm. The Great Displacement.
That's right.
What's great about this is that we're sitting behind this desk on the chairs with the mics.
Mm.
And it sometimes feels like we're acting a little bit like we're on camera.
Yeah.
Andy is definitely sitting like he's doing a morning talk show.
Yeah, well, it's hard not to. You know, you've got the bench here to lean on. It's changed my physiology. And remember when you change, not my physiology, it's changed my physiognomy?
Physiognomy. That sounds like a real word.
Yeah. It's changed my posture.
Yeah.
And that, I've embodied a different...
Well, and I just appear as slovenly as I did in the podcast studio.
Yeah, you can't be changed.
No one will.
The only other thing I got written down was table pants.
Hey?
Table pants. You were talking about how when you're behind a table, you don't need to wear pants.
Are these pants that are attached to the table?
You
can just slide right
could
in?
Could be. That's quite a good idea. Or pants that are sort of drawn on the table or something like that. But I also thought, like, when people are sitting down, they don't need pants. I mean, sharing economy. I think when you're sitting down, those pants should be going to a pool. Somebody else can be wearing those pants. Indeed. In Singapore...
As soon as you mentioned
this is not a sketch idea. This is an app.
Well, this is absolutely an app. And I started thinking exactly the same thing I was like, I wonder if this is where he's going with it.
In Singapore, they split the school day. So some kids, to make better use of the school, some kids go to school from like 6 until 1, and then other kids come in and go to school from 1 until 6. Or 5, 7 or something like that. It's crazy.
When are they going to
What's bed? Great about that is that all research shows that, you know, kids learn better if they start later, and really? Don't do that.
Yeah. So.
So if they don't, if they don't start.
But some start early.
If they don't start at six.
Yeah.
So what's great is that the kids who start at six are starting too early to learn well, and the kids who start at one are going too late to learn well.
Yeah, yeah. It's balanced.
It's the optimal solution to deny all existing research on how children learn.
And that's why Singapore is doing so badly, economically, socially.
Educationally.
Yes.
Educationally. But look,
but something like that with pants.
How are you picturing the pants traveling? Because I'm picturing a vacuum tube.
I'm picturing a vacuum tube.
Thunk, yeah. Thunk, like that. So you sit down, the pants just go thunk. Mm. Which, by the way, it just means you have to invent a type of shoe, and this will be a big part of this company. Mm. Type of shoe that actually just is exactly the same size and width of your foot. So it's just like it's all about, this company really is, it's like, you think that we're in the pants share industry, but we're actually in a material that replicates a regular sneaker.
It's like how McDonald's isn't really a fast food company, it's a real estate company.
It's a real estate company here, but this one, it's all about just a material that gives you the same comfort as a thick sole made out of rubber and whatever, but then it's just so that you can have pants that can get sucked off your legs.
And look, I don't see why there would be any problem with having a huge, powerful vacuum tube under a table when people are wearing no pants.
Yeah. I think it'll be fine. Look, it just goes thunk, like that. I think every table can just have a big hole under it, like that, with a huge fan.
Yeah.
It sucks things out. Like
and
that.
Everyone can sit down around the table and get sucked off.
Get their pants sucked off. And then the pants go down the tubes into some kind of
once
central.
The pants have been sucked off.
Yeah.
Yes. They can have a meeting.
Exactly. Yeah. And then we can finally get to... And that way, it'll also stop people getting up and just going, you know, like get coffee or whatever, disturbing meeting times.
That's good. Keep people focused. Mm-hmm.
But then there also needs to be a
I mean, they won't be totally focused because they'll be worried about that vacuum tube.
Well, they won't just be worried about the vacuum tube because there's also going to have to be a pants gun. That shoots and launches the pants back onto your pants.
When you're ready
like,
to go.
Yeah, ready to go. Yeah. So like that, you might push it and then goes like that. So I think we're going to have to, standardize pants.
Mm. Well, but also, I think we can also develop pants that are a little bit, like, it is silly that we have pants. I know it's cool to wear skinny jeans and that sort of thing, but, like, the fact that you can't take off your pants without taking off your shoes is stupid. We should have really wide pants.
Yeah, parachute pants.
Parachute pants.
And I think maybe everybody has to keep their feet in, like held by two little hands.
You know what? Let's get rid of feet.
Get rid of feet?
I think we can balance on nubs.
Could we put what's
hooves?
Hooves.
Yeah, let's get hooves.
Removable feet.
Behooved.
Yeah.
Just get your feet amputated and put on a little, you know.
That feels nice. That feels like it could be good. I mean, like, and ones that are soft, like Crocs.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, the foot should be just in the shoe. The foot goes with the shoe, right? And it just clips over the end of your nub or whatever. There's a magnet in it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that.
Neodyna,
absolutely,
maybe?
Absolutely, yeah. Of course.
Plug and electromagnet. Play. Electromagnet.
Oh, well, you think so? Then
Maglock?
Yeah.
I mean, but then are we creating more sort of energy? I mean, look, I don't want to find any flaws in this plan, but are we then kind of increasing the energy load? You know, that we always have to carry a battery on us and things like that? You got to plug yourself in.
I'll figure out a way to generate electricity.
Maybe all
bioelectricity.
What about the ground could be constantly electrified?
The ground is electrified. Perfect. And you won't get electrocuted because you don't have real feet.
Yeah.
Right? They're just nubs. Mm-hmm. Right?
That's
now,
right.
Because at the moment, right, we have the Maglock technology is on the Apple power plug to go into your Apple Mac laptop. Mm-hmm. And what does that do? That means that if you trip over the you catch the foot the cord with your foot, it pulls out of the computer.
But doesn't smash your computer.
Doesn't smash your computer. Now, what about instead we have the maglock lock technology on your foot? The plug into the computer is still a solid one, right? That's not going anywhere. Now you get your foot caught on the cable, your foot just comes.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
comes off.
There you go. That does make sense.
And that's great because then you don't have to rely on other companies to follow in Apple's footsteps and do the same thing.
So footsteps, nub steps, actually, yeah. But sure.
So this works with all your cords.
Exactly.
Right?
Right, yes.
Universal compatibility.
Yes. So we just put it on the feet. Okay, and now also, doesn't mean your computer doesn't get unplugged, right? You're not, oh, and if someone else tripping over your cable, your computer shouldn't get unplugged. It should be on them to lose their feet.
Absolutely. Well, you could make your, just to say, because then what about people who haven't installed the new Maglock feet?
Sure, sure, sure.
So you could make the cable now out of like sort of razor wire.
Piano wire or something like that.
Tight
yeah.
razor wire that goes from your computer to the thing. And you could also sort of maybe like put like suction cups under the computer so it really is there.
It's locked like in. So anybody... Maybe it's got a magnet in it that attaches it to the desktop. Mm. The desktop is electrified.
When you were doing this, I thought you were maybe putting like one of those Claymore mines or something down.
Claymore mines? What's a Claymore mine?
It's a, you know, it's one of those...
It's a little proximity mine of some kind?
It's like a little explosive thing that it...
Yeah.
It, you trip the wire and it's shaped a little bit, so it shoots stuff and it's...
GoldenEye on the Nintendo 64 with a Claymore
in
that?
Yeah, probably. Why not?
Yeah, I think, it's really taken me back, actually, to N64.
But you're saying, you know...
Yeah, no, I want something really...
You want a really tight, thin, invisible trip wire, and then
real thin, but
you're
I want
putting something
slice
down.
Feet off. I want slice feet off. That way, those people automatically have to get the mag feet. Mm. And so that'll increase business for this company.
Mag feet.
Mag feet. And they can't complain because it's called slice your feet off technology.
Yeah.
And so there can't be any like court cases.
Slice your feet
unless
off,
it,
which is
unless
bad
it
technology.
Doesn't,
eh?
Unless it doesn't get all the way through, in
well,
which case you've got a winning lawsuit on your hands.
All right, well then we'll also make
Let's
the
just
wire
call it,
hot, really hot, and...
No, we'll call it chop into your ankle.
Chop.
And okay, then we haven't guaranteed that the feet will be sliced off, just that your ankles will be chopped into.
Okay. Legular damage.
Yellow.
Yeah.
Can I jump back a little bit the pants hole?
Sure, yeah, absolutely.
Which I'm thinking, we've got a bunch of people sitting around this table, big hole under them.
Mm.
They're not wearing pants anymore.
Yeah.
No.
You know what they're going to want to do.
Defecate.
Exactly.
Oh, you're right.
And so this hole could become, in a way, a sort of inverse cloaca.
Okay, wait.
Yes.
Where instead of everything comes out of it,
everything
goes in.
Everything goes in. Yeah, okay, I don't mind this.
We'll leave it up to someone else to figure out how to keep the pants and the poo from touching.
Well, you could have.
But
well, because
the big
the
hole
seats,
at the top, it's got to look like one hole.
Mm, you don't want the seats on your chairs to get sort of like any ass stuff on them.
No.
So the seats themselves are toilet seats.
Yeah.
Like that. So you're just constantly sitting on a toilet seat. And then they've just got a tube underneath them, which goes to an outer rim.
Well, maybe
so
instead
that the
of
pants and the
they go
the
into
waist,
different
they go into different sections like that. You know, there's a glass in between them.
Right? Isn't I think it's probably important to Brian though that it's still a cloaca. It's still just one hole.
It has to look like a cloaca on the outside.
Yeah, sure.
It's very important to me personally.
No, absolutely. I think it could even have like that kind of weird bulbousy looking thing. I think cloacas also have clitorises. Do you think that's going to be important for this?
Yeah, sure.
A cloacal clitoris?
Of course, in some way.
I think some. I'm not sure how many beasts have the clitoris.
Me neither.
I feel like an animalistical coming on.
Yeah. That'll be.
How many beasts?
We'll record that episode of Animalistical after this.
Yeah.
You tweeted about animalistical, and I'd already forgotten what it was.
It's just a list of animals, like, ones that can take your dick off.
I'd already forgotten. It was a TV show that can, where you just list animals.
We just list animals that can take your dick off.
They can bite it off with their jaws or whatever.
We can do other things. But, of course, the pilot episode is animals that can take your dick off.
Yeah, they could easily...
I think it's important that the cloaca pipe under the desk can also take feces and that sort of thing, because as we've established, once your pants are gone, you're not going to want to get up to go to the toilet or anything. That would be embarrassing.
You're not getting up to go anywhere.
You know, relieve yourself where you sit in the meeting.
I think we should get rid of chairs in this room.
You think
standing.
I think,
you want people standing, don't you? Or squatting.
Standing, I think, and this will also help with getting the pants off easier, we should suspend people from their torso.
Yes.
Yeah, right. So like a... What kind of thing are you thinking? Sort of like a...
Hooks through the skin?
Yeah, I mean, hooks through the skin. I mean, it feels like,
I feel like that's yeah.
been so done before.
Yeah.
And so what about like that, just that kind of that weird harness that, that like a fireman will put around your waist
yeah,
when they're
yeah,
sort of saving
hoisted
you from
up
a ravine?
From the ocean. Or,
they, yeah. they put it like
oh,
under
yeah.
your arms or
I'm
whatever.
Very familiar with that.
Like that? And so when they're saving you from a ravine, they put that under there. I think they even do that with a horse. I think they even get hooked that under a horse's legs if it's fallen into a well or something like that.
So the horses could join the meeting too.
Well, that's right.
You don't, no, you don't have to park your horse outside. Bring it in.
It's been a real pain in the ass for horses and for asses. Mm.
The horse, and then this saves on horse cleanup, which, as we know...
Is it a huge problem in the Wild West and in the Wild yeah. East, mm. where so we now live?
Bring your horses in the meeting, hang them up next to you.
Yeah, I mean, it but also there's been very little contribution in sort of business sort of roundtables from horses.
Yes.
And I feel like horses could at least respond intuitively to emojis.
And horses as well.
We could have them.
They've already got hooves, so great for sucking off their pants. Now,
and twice as many pants.
Well, it depends on
now,
you know that internet thing about how would a horse wear pants.
Well, now we need to sign up twice as many people potentially to this thing for every horse that comes in. Because are they bringing their own pants, or we've got to provide extra pants?
I think everyone brings their own pants. Or the pants. See, this is the thing: the pants are owned by the state, right? So it's socialized pants, mm-hmm. okay? And that's why you know they're being redistributed like that to to take you know proper make. Most efficient possible use of the pants.
Yeah, but I know, but then I feel like that goes counter to that idea when we started including, because we were like, oh, well, let's reduce the amount of materials we need to use for pants.
Okay, well, then that's why we've had to reduce the amount, because horses have started wearing pants. There's not enough pants to go around.
Yeah.
So we then have to go into this pool pants yeah. system. The pants well,
I guess, pool. I think...
There's just one other... potential wrinkle here. Well, one, with the horses in the business meeting, you might have a problem because they might only be able to respond negatively to any proposal.
Brian. The nays have it. Is this where we're going with that?
Yeah.
So you might.
I feel like we've been making a lot less progress since these horses came. We started being included in the meeting. Feels like the nays have had it in the last. When was the last time we had a quorum?
To society. Everything comes to a standstill. Progress comes to a standstill.
While we're removing body parts from our lower half to help streamline things with the horses in the meeting, it might be helpful to just go all the way up and replace our legs with horse legs.
Mm. Well, if we're replacing feet, we may as well just, instead of, it's just the whole lower half of the body that clips off with the maglock. Right?
I was thinking for the pants, you want, right. You want the pants to go on the horses.
You want universal pants.
Universal pants, yeah.
Mm. Absolutely.
We're back to universal compatibility. Mm. Compatibility.
Wait, so...
So then we're becoming sort of almost centaurs.
Yeah.
A little bit.
What's the other one? There was the goat one.
Fawn?
I'm kind of getting close to a
satyr?
Fawn.
Satyr?
A satyr?
I looked up satyrs recently. Satyr? You know, it's part of satyr. The satyr thing is that they always have a massive erection.
Well, that's why that word also means, you know... stuff to do with massive erections.
Satyr?
Yeah.
Does that mean to do... Is that part of the discourse?
Yeah.
Is that a key word people search for when they're on Pornhub?
Probably.
Or
yeah.
No, it has that connotation.
I had no idea. I just thought it was just another friendly woodland creature. But I was wrong.
No.
Man, that erection's going to make it hard to get the pants off, I think, the erection.
But then if we're getting horses, like, why are we getting horses?
Because their legs are better than ours.
So the stronger legs.
Yeah.
I mean, but then...
Horses clearly are better at running than us.
They're better at running.
But not on two legs.
Have you ever raced one?
Hey, I've never actually raced a horse on foot.
Yeah, so we can't guarantee that you wouldn't win.
Yeah. That's true. We can't guarantee something.
You're undefeated.
But I think most people who have raced horses have lost.
Yeah.
So you might be the exception.
Yeah, that's true.
But probably.
I think over a very short distance, you can beat a horse, right? You're less weight, you'll
like
accelerate faster.
10 meters or something like that.
Yeah.
Well, like a meter.
Mm.
We got to get shorter running events in the Olympics. Why are they stopped at 100 meters? Let's get it down to like 10.
I think that would be a really interesting.
But why stop there?
But why stop there? Yes. Fastest man over 3 centimeters.
You know that thing where you kind of like you move your hand as fast as you can, you go like that fast, like that. They should just do a thing like that where it's like, who's the fastest at doing this? Like this, like karate chop.
Yeah.
Like it's this karate chop.
Can you get a run up? Can you be running and karate chopping?
No.
I think you should be
this
able to.
This is the shortest race.
But I think
that could be
you
another
can get
event.
A run-up. So the event itself only takes place over a very short space of time, but you're allowed as much run-up as you want or anything. And it's just who can get any part of their body moving the fastest for an instant, right? And so you run up, you bend back, and you flick, and you whip the tip of one of your fingers past this little sensor. Yeah. And now we know who's the fastest, well, not the fastest man, but like the fastest body part of any human.
But then you lose to a guy who just blinks.
Do you think blinking is fastest?
I think you could get faster than a blink.
A blink faster than your fingertip?
I wonder. I don't know. What about
a blink?
What about if you had really long hair and you were doing a flip forward?
Yeah.
And the end of your hair.
And the end of your hair comes
goes supersonic. And
but you just have to be very like accurate with.
Oh sure, sure. I mean, I'm not saying there's not a lot of skill involved.
Well, it's very interesting that the Olympic planners at some point saw their events and they thought, you know, we've got 100 meter dash or whatever. Mm. Let's see what happens over 200 and then 400 and then thousands and then. Marathons and then ultra marathons. Then no one went the other direction.
I think with people's attention spans and that sort of thing.
This is where it's
going. You know, we've got the 2020 in cricket.
Yeah.
You know, got the Big Bash.
It's about time we move to the 5-5.
I don't know what he's saying.
2020 Big Bash? You know what I'm saying?
Cricket.
Cricket. See, cricket is often played over 5 days.
Yeah.
It's like a 5-day
test
about
match.
That. Right? But then sometimes they just went, oh, how about you just throw the ball
20 minutes.
Well, yeah, it's like instead of 20 overs, which is like what, 7 balls or 12 balls or something like that, an over?
6 balls in an over.
Yeah, 6 balls in an over.
Alistair, you got to know this 20. Stuff.
I don't need to know. I've
got to. You got to know this.
I'm 35 years old and it's not been useful. I don't think it's going to be useful now.
No, it was just useful just now. You looked like an idiot.
Andy.
In front of our friend Brian.
Well, I had you here and I've outsourced all the information that I don't need to you.
Yep, and I know everything about sport.
And that has worked for me this whole time.
Yeah.
Look, I think we need to go to 3 words from a listener.
Oh, perfect.
Perfect.
So
I just got to make sure I don't have any sketch ideas written on my hand.
Yeah, double check everybody.
Have you checked?
I have written pantalope, which is like an antelope that wears pants.
Great. Well, I was wondering whether if we've got horses into society, then why not integrate all animals into society? And
the way that we integrate them is by having them wear pants. I think that's really the only
I think that's a good place to start.
Yeah, I think we'd take animals more seriously if we didn't have to look at their genitals all the time.
Yeah, you know, you see a dog pooping and its little dick comes out and you're just like, that's stupid.
I'm not going to let you make decisions in my board meeting.
Of course not.
Yeah, but I don't know if I
put some pants on it.
I think I would.
And you'll be taking orders from it.
I know, but
Mr. Dog.
Yeah.
I know, but if we
really
if we didn't do that, then we
30 million severance
then it
package.
Might become a more okay for us to poop in public.
Oh yeah,
you know?
And that is
there is a time at least where that feels like it's necessary. Anyway, so our 3 words today come from listener Brian.
Do you think
Colella.
That we'll ever get to the point where society has gone? No, society has collapsed to the point where it comes on the news that the government has declared a state of hyper-emergency. What this basically means is that it's martial law, there's a strict curfew, and it's now okay to poop in the streets. Things have broken down to the point where, like, we're calling the Brown Protocol. You can poop wherever you want.
This is.
Do you get the movie The Purge here? In Australia?
I've never
seen
that
movie.
I haven't
seen
it,
but you know the concept?
The gist. Yeah,
24 hours where all crime is now legal.
It's The Purge, but just with public defecating. Perfect.
Well, it doesn't have to be just defecation. It could also be vomiting.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I mean, vomiting in public is mostly legal, right?
It's interesting that vomiting in public is much more accepted than...
I saw a guy do it the other night.
Yeah, really?
That was one of my first experiences in Australia.
Yeah, did you accept it or did you just sort of frown a little bit at it? Because we don't accept that here.
I don't want you to think that's
I
okay.
I said, no, sir, I do not accept.
Oh, we see, and that's not okay. We
strolled briskly
past.
I want you
to know that we're very tolerant towards public vomiting.
Oh. You know what we call that in Aussie? We call that a chunder.
Is that what that is?
Nah.
Well, I mean, damn. it is a word for...
Because I was really hoping that that was what that was, because that really would... That change a lot about the song Down Under.
No, but that's what chunder is. Chunder is to vomit.
Yeah.
That's an Aussie-ism.
Where women...
So that song is talking...
Women blow women and men chunder?
And men chunder.
According to the karaoke machines I use, it's women glow.
Women glow. That's much better.
And men chunder.
Yeah.
You've karaoke to the Down Under song.
Oh, of course.
Mm.
Wow.
It's a classic. Have you not?
No, well, I mean, I haven't karaoke'd that much, but if I when I do, I always do Don't Go Chasing Waterfalls.
Okay, yeah. Mm. Absolutely.
It's a good one.
But also I do it.
I do Sweet Caroline by Neil Diamond.
Really?
Yeah. And I do it real bad.
Yeah. Well, I think, I just think it's funny to go like this, go, don't go chasing waterfalls.
You've got to have a gimmick. If you're not a good singer, you've got to find an angle.
That's exactly. I thought that's what it was due to.
You know, but before we go to the three words,
mm-hmm.
it might be a good time to plug Magma, because
sure.
Magma does contain a solution to public defecation.
Absolutely, or at least the version of the show that you saw.
Yeah, that's not in there anymore. Yeah, wow.
Until we realized nobody was enjoying that. I mean, look,
that's the only thing I remember.
Well, no. Oh, we've made some serious cuts that people haven't, is going to, maybe, look, don't come back. Don't have any of the stuff.
We're doing a show called Magma at the Comedy Festival. And for listeners of Two in the Think Tank, there's a 20% discount code. Mm-hmm. Use long tit, TITTT.
All caps.
All caps, baby. That'll get you the 20% off, a full price ticket. But there'll be a link and the promo code will be in the show notes.
And do come, because Andy is driving in every day from his house that's basically interstate.
I need to sell two tickets a day
just to cover
petrol.
His travel costs.
And Alistair needs to sell two tickets a day to buy one beer.
So I can buy one beer.
To feel good.
So that I can feel good and I'm not tired all the time.
Yes.
Yeah, because beer, really.
Beer, well, look.
It gives you a window.
It gives you that window, and it's the first 15 minutes of the show that gets people in the mood while I'm in a good mood.
Yes.
And then beyond that, I think
you just
as long
everybody.
As you finish with something that's not too terrible, I think they'll think they had a good time.
That's all
which,
you need.
Which I think we've got more than 15 minutes of stuff. And so,
So please, thank you for reminding us to plug our show, Brian.
I've been to the show, and Kelsey. I loved it. It was great, although... Maybe it's not as good as it was when I saw it.
Well, there's less public defecating.
So for some people, it might be better.
But now we can sell the public defecating separately. You know, if there's enough demand out there, we'll put that behind the paywall, right? You know,
the show paywall.
The show paywall.
The whole show is behind the paywall.
No. Yeah, but within the paywall, there's a second paywall.
Oh, great. Right?
And so we get to the end of the show. We say, thanks to everyone for coming. Now we've got a bit of public defecating stuff. If you want to show us $5... You know, we'll let you in. You'll have a private little showing.
If there's two walls, then it's like a pay enclosure.
Mm, yeah. A pay pen.
Yeah, a pay pen. Okay. We got three words from a listener, and the listener is Brian Colella. Right? Now,
you're not going to ask Brian to riff on his own words, are you?
Yeah, well, I mean, actually, they're not Brian's words, because that's Brian, he did a call out for words from people.
Right.
I tried not to take credit for these words, but he made me do it.
Yeah. And also then I just explained how it worked, so then everybody knows that he's not credited with it. All right. So here are the words. Fart blast, yet, and protractor.
Protractor.
Protractor, sorry.
Protractor.
Fart blast.
Fart blast.
And yet.
Yet.
I don't think there's a bigger contrast in the English language between the word fart blast and the word yet. I mean, that is whiplash.
Also, what I did was I asked some people on Twitter to send me words, mm-hmm. and I would choose the first word of the first three messages that I got.
See, that's a great idea. So somebody started their message with fart blast.
Yeah.
And somebody started with yet.
Yet. Okay, well, fart blast.
I think most of those messages were just one word.
Yeah,
so
okay.
So it started and ended.
Yeah, yeah. Great. So fart blast does have a sort of a superhero quality to it.
It really does,
you
yeah. know,
it does make you
You think
feel
it's the name of a superhero?
It could be the name of a superhero. I mean,
or
like,
just a maneuver. But the...
it could be like a Pokemon move.
Yeah. It does put me in mind of that movie... was it Mystery Men?
Mystery Men, Ben
the,
Stiller.
The Ben Stiller that? Film.
Mystery Men?
Yeah, yeah, it's Ben Stiller's like
What's
a...
What's it called in the rest of the world?
Good question. Sometimes movies do have a different name in Australia.
I think it was called Mystery Men. I think maybe I saw that in Canada when I lived there.
Yeah.
Canada's...
Anyway, it was pretty under the radar show-wise. I don't think it was hugely successful. And that's because it's not a particularly good film. Like, it feels like a good concept because they are just a... It was sort of early, before the modern wave of superhero movies, and they were just like this band of shit superheroes. But then I think just the writing let it down. It doesn't really have a very good plot. And yeah. It's also, like, there's a guy in there whose superpower is farting. He's called the Spleen.
Oh, really?
And it's just a bit gross. Like, I think...
Isn't the spleen responsible for farts?
No.
Biologically?
No, and I think that's probably another reason people didn't really...
That's probably
didn't do the, well at
the reason...
Boxers.
Yeah, it failed.
Yeah, he should have been called the colon or the bowel.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Hank Azaria had a character called the Blue Raja.
That's
Wes
right.
Wes Studi study.
Hank Azaria has really done quite a diverse cultural basket. Of
he's been around, but
characters.
I think his live action stuff has never, you know, has not served him well.
Mm-hmm. No, because he gets cast in these weird character roles, which are, you know, probably not okay in retrospect.
He played a French guy in Along Came Polly. Is that what it was? Along Came Polly? Where
he's
he played...
got a great body,
oh,
Hank Azaria.
No one's going to accuse Hank Azaria of not having a great body.
Do you think he's one of the people with the best body and...
Worst careers?
And the best voice.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah. It wouldn't be any popular singer or anyone like that. Definitely not. It would definitely be Hank Azaria.
The guy who does... Does he do Mo on The Simpsons? That guy.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe... I think maybe Usher might
it
have
It wouldn't
the best
be
body.
Any incredibly beautiful, incredibly yeah. talented
no.
performer who spends okay. their whole life
yeah.
being admired for their body and voice.
Yeah. Yeah, any good suggestions?
Thank you. I'm really glad that you support me on this, yeah. Brian, because, you know, a lesser man would have used this as an opportunity to sort of ridicule me in yeah. some way for putting myself out
traveling
there.
Traveling long
no,
distance.
No, I'm, here,
really.
I'm here to support you.
All right, so fart blast yet protractor. Protractor is a semicircle in which you measure
Do
angles.
You know?
I know about protractor.
Do you have a different word for that?
No. We call it protractor, yeah.
Yet is a word. It's the beginning of Yeti.
It is, that's, yeah. Well, you know, fart blast Yeti does make me think of the methane that's going to be released from the Siberian permafrost.
Mm. The fart blast Yeti.
Yeah, under the, you know, these global warming consequences.
That's a, yeah. That's
it
a,
makes me think of frozen yogurt.
Oh, yeah.
Like Yeti.
I
mean,
the
I think,
fart blast
I think
Yeti,
Yeti
does sound like a flavor of frozen yogurt.
Ben and Jerry's fart blast Yeti.
I think there's a Froyo place in Seattle called Yeti. And yeah. the fart blast would be like... some yeah. sort of... like a
sulfur-based one. For
it's really hard to sell a fart blast in almost any hospitality-based industry.
Maybe it's reminding me of like fruit blast.
It's sure,
a, yeah,
which I
sure.
think is...
it's reminding me of fart blast,
fruit blast.
So I think that's going to be the barrier there.
I don't know if fruit blast is a real thing, but it's the name of a smoothie in at Baskin-Robbins in the movie Ant-Man.
Oh, man, I haven't seen any Ant-Man.
Wow.
I'm a big Ant-Man fan.
Yeah,
so.
Well, Berry Blast is a smoothie at popular Australian smoothie shop, Boost.
Boost Juice.
So, well, it could be some kind of healthy thing, like a cleanse-type drink that's meant to make you fart if you're feeling a little bit gaseous
yeah.
and you need to get some air out.
Well, it turns out that the solution to that is actually to just have more gas pumped into you. So what you do is you go into the place, and it's just like a sort of like a tube you put into your mouth, and you close your mouth over it like that, and you really got to open up your... What's the air tube called? Esophagus? Or is that that's the food tube?
Yeah.
So the air...
I think air tube is probably...
Yeah, air tube. You open up your air tube. You know, like people like skull beer by just opening up their food tube. This one you got to open up your ear tube and scull this air, and it just basically creates a wind passage all the way through your body.
That's not going to work, Al. Not with your air tube. It's got to go down your esophagus, right? If you want to blast through the digestive system with a fart blast, it's not going to be going down your breathing tube, is it? Because the lungs are a dead end. I mean,
are you trying to say this is a real thing?
No, well, I'm saying that this is what the fart blast could be. Sorry, yeah, you got to. Yes, right. You got to open up your esophagus.
I think what we're really pitching here is basically a gas-based enema, right? Because at the moment, the enema is liquid, right? And what are the things that so far we pump into our digestive system? Liquid and solids with foods. But there's no gas-based...
Well, you say that.
Yes.
This is reminding me of my youth a little bit.
Yeah.
I briefly worked in a colonoscopy clinic.
Wow. As sort of in your youth, like as a boy? As one of those...
During college.
Sort of a street urchin kind of thing?
My summer job during college.
Wow.
And when you...
How on earth?
I was an orderly, basically. I rolled people in their wheelchairs up to their cars, and then I helped them.
Wait, enema clinic?
A colonoscopy clinic.
Oh, colonoscopy. Okay, sorry.
Yeah, no. Colonoscopy. Sorry. Please.
But did you give people enemas?
An endoscopy clinic, really, because they did both ends.
Mm. I didn't know that it was called end because of the ends.
it's misleading because the anus is really quite close to the middle.
That is true.
Yeah.
It should be going in your
feet. But it kind of is the end of the middle.
Well, when we cut off our feet, we can put a hole there so you can do a true endoscopy from that.
Or when we cut us off at the waist, finally the anus will be the end and it'll make a lot more sense.
Or will the anus come off with the rest of the body?
I think
something will be left. You'll have a hole.
I think you've got to keep the anus as part of the top half because... Otherwise, you are then trying to plug in a new anus into the...
Yeah, either way, you have to put something there. It's easier to just leave.
Yeah, I think so. Unless we can come up with a really good connector, and then the anus can be disposable, and you can, when you go to the bathroom, rather than having to wipe it, which does seem crazy, like reuse it. It should be a disposable
thing. You just
replace
it with a new one?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, of course.
Rather than a toilet roll dispenser, there's just a rack of anuses. And you take yours out, and it's a flushable anus, right? And you flush your anus,
But then there's going to be a fatberg of anuses in the sewer system where they're like, oh, we thought they were flushable, but turns out all these anuses...
They don't break down!
They don't break down, and they all glue together create some super organism of anuses.
The Great Pacific Anus Patch.
Yeah, exactly. And then it's just this big floating anusberg that's just sinking ships.
Asperg.
Like it almost works too well.
You don't like things that work too well.
Yeah, it's got, you know, it's like symmetry. Things, you know, symmetry isn't beautiful. It's just things have got to be slightly off.
Mm. Yeah. Well, I hope something in this episode is slightly off beautiful. Well, but so far it feels perfect.
What I was going to say with colonoscopies is when you get one, the little machine, the colonoscope, pumps air into your colon as it goes.
Oh, it does.
Because your colon is by nature...
Is it that so it can breathe?
If there's nothing in there, it just closes up, right? Well, it's so you can see with the camera that's on the end.
They have a light on there too?
Yeah, there's a light.
Or is it just like a UV kind
There's of... a light, there's a camera, there's a little air that they blow in, there's a little pincer thing that you can grab stuff with.
Wow.
Like you grab a little polyp with your little thing and... snip it right off.
You ever got to use it?
I never got to use one that was inside of a person, but I got to play with the little control. It's very fun.
Yeah.
The end wiggles around like a snake.
Did you ever pick up anything with it? Pick up like a cotton ball or something like that?
No, we didn't get to do that. I got to do some other really fun stuff. I can tell you after.
Yeah. Things that are illegal?
No, just things that are maybe...
immoral.
Unjustifiable.
Did you get to do
impossible?
Did you get to endoscopy yourself?
No, just things that are less funny.
Okay, sure. What about this friendoscopy? Right, it's a social thing.
Yeah,
where, you know, where we get together because social event. Yeah, it's like a dinner party, and you there's this mobile van. Comes around and does endoscopies for everyone, and everybody gets to look inside everybody's anus.
Well, I think
you do like
a. It's
like a sleepover where you're braiding each other's
hair.
You just set up a little circle, and each person.
I think that's actually cool. So like those bands that bring over like poker tips.
Exactly. Yeah.
And poker chips so you can play, but it's just like, it's just a guy, he's a nurse, and he's just like, yeah, everybody can either do one end or the other or whatever. You can squeeze each other's polyps if you want to have a go at it. You know, my ass is so sore from last night's friendoscopy.
So is that our sketch for Fart Blast Yet?
Friendoscopy van.
Yeah.
Look, but also I'm going to write down this permafrost methane one because I think
that's pretty good.
The whole thing.
What is the sketch from permafrost methane?
Well, the Fart Blast Yeti is the name.
Maybe like a news report that's saying the Yeti fart blast has devastated the.
They're calling
the climate. It over was Russia.
Yeah.
So yeah, people out in Siberia were the first people to tweet about it. That there's like. They're like this horrendous smell that's been emerged from there, and they were calling it the Yeti fart blast, that, right? Turns out it was when all this methane got released, and it's the beginning of catastrophic climate change.
Okay, sounds funny.
And the cause was a bunch of school kids measuring some angles with their protractors, and the friction from their pencils was the last bit of heat energy needed.
I've often wondered if we could identify what is the who it is who's responsible for releasing the, because there will be one carbon dioxide molecule that does tip us over into runaway catastrophic climate change.
Yeah.
Because then we'll be able to say that it was their fault, right? And then they'll just be able to blame one person, we kill them, and you know, justice has been served. Yeah. And we can get on with our lives, and we won't have to deal with the recriminations, because otherwise there'll be heaps. We just find that one person who did it.
Do you think it'll be Al Gore?
Could be. Imagine. The irony.
Yeah. Oh, that'd be amazing.
That's an inconvenient truth, Al.
Mm-hmm. Now, should I run us through the sketch idea?
Can I
say the last thing about colonoscopies?
Absolutely.
Yeah, you can have the final word.
After you get your colon filled with air, then they take you out, lay you down in a bed, and you just fart.
Wow.
And it is like an orchestra of fart blasts.
Like as in, just a whole bunch of people around?
Yeah, it's a whole bunch of people who are just finished up their
colonoscopies. And are they all in the same room?
Yeah, it's a big room, and there's like curtains around the bed. It's like a hospital, you know?
Yeah.
And the curtains are billowing, obviously.
And the curtains are
a fair bit of air
billowing movement from the fart blasts.
I mean, have you ever recorded that on your phone?
No.
No.
I think that is unethical.
Well, there's no identities.
And also, I don't think orderlies have the Hippocratic Oath.
We also weren't allowed to carry our phone around with us, and you wouldn't really want to because it might get poo molecules on it.
Yeah, right.
So
well, I think you'll find you'll get poo molecules on it anyway.
Especially the amount I use my phone on the toilet.
Yeah,
yeah, but that's your own poo molecules, which...
probably. Mostly.
Well, you've got children, so...
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, everything I own is...
Don't touch your...
90% poo molecules.
Yeah. All right, I'll take us to the sketch ideas. I got Caucasian. I've written down Caucasian.
Right.
Even if it's just a term that we start using to annoy the alt-right.
It's the new soy boy.
But I think it's how we're also going to start bringing people... recruiting people just into the center. But not the alt center, just the regular
just
center.
Yeah.
You know,
definitely not the alt
center. Yeah, it's not the alt center. That feels like another idea. Then we got the great vocal replacement, which is people are worried that the accent is changing and being too affected by countries or other
cultures.
The government decides to we're going to change our accent, and it's actually going to be a really high-pitched
screech.
Small-mouth screech.
Yeah. Small-mouth screech.
Yeah. Then we got the...
That's my jazz name.
Addictive. We got addictive but deadly teaching supplies to increase the continuation of young teachers in the industry, but also getting rid of the dead wood. Then we got the eye biology supply store / jawbreaker store called Eye Candy, where you...
it's called Eye Candy.
Eye Candy. I didn't
believe
it.
But the first eye is a visual.
All right, I'll do it like this. There we go, like this. I drew the eye, and I'll do that little.
Perfect.
You know, I've noticed for drawings of eyes, people always put that little, people who are good at drawing always put that little square where you can see the light reflecting. That seems to be the key to drawing.
I think Leonardo da Vinci invented that.
Yeah,
the square.
Yeah.
The square where you can see the light.
Yeah. Then we got Pants Table shame. No, wait. Pants, pants table share. Sorry. Mm. That's the sharing. Well, it's the nationalization of pants. Mm. And but the efficientization of you know, all your pants get sucked off and then they get given to other people.
Who, I wanted to just add the detail of that, like, all the tubes have to go to some centralized area where there's, like, a whole lot of people working, getting the pants, rolling them up into the right configuration, shoving them back up another tube to, you know, get sucked off to wherever they've got to go.
Yeah, or blown off.
Blown off, yeah. Sure.
Then we got, then also horses get added to society and progress comes to a standstill. Because
business progress.
Business progress.
Social progress is now running at a breakaway pace.
Because of how fast horses are.
Yeah. but then also in government, if there's any sort of, if horses have any seats in parliament, which they don't use, by the way,
no.
They should have like a little stable in parliament. Like
stable
that.
Government. Stand there.
It would be great to have a stable government.
It would be, wouldn't it?
Then we have the shortest speed event, which is just this. Well, there you gotta,
you're whipping your hand, you're flicking your earlobe, whatever it is, you got to get as fast as you can.
What's the fastest a human body's ever gone without
any bit of the human body?
Any bit.
I think your idea about the end of hair being the answer is probably going to be grow your hair really long, whip it around.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'd be interested.
It's going to be hard to beat that, I reckon.
Yeah, but I think, you know, that'll be interesting to watch people try and do this. And I think the first few years of this will be interesting because you'll see people really try new things until people figure out what the...
Yeah, see, that, I think the great thing about that is you do see people try different ways. Most of the events we've got, especially in the Olympics, right? It's very structured. Mm. Everyone knows what everyone else is going to do.
I don't think there's been a big, great leap forward since the Fosby flop.
Yeah.
I think it's been...
You know, Fosby flop?
Is it something to do with jumping?
It's high jump.
High jump. Yeah, yeah, the guy who goes over backwards.
Would you say it's a great leap forward?
No, I don't think it's up. It's a great leap upwards, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, then there's the, you know, recently there was like the quadruple axel in ice skating.
Yeah,
but that's
right.
Really just a triple axel.
With one more.
With one more axel.
Yeah.
But no one's really trying something different to win any of that. So we need an Olympics where you have to try different things.
Triple backflip. I think that's the last thing left in ice skating.
But that's also just a double backflip.
That's
plus
true.
One more.
Yeah.
Okay, well, how about this? Make an espresso coffee.
Yeah. Okay.
Or I want to see someone...
Use your body.
Put their hands in the skates and do that.
Or put their hands in the ice. Actually, like, do ice breaking.
Yeah.
Like, you need to get a Zamboni out for every time that there's a nice
skate. So fast, they melt the ice, and then they swim.
Exactly. And then they do some synchronized swimming moves.
Mm.
But they do it out of sync, because no one's tried that before, and maybe that's actually...
No one's ever tried to do synchronized swimming out of sync on purpose.
Yeah.
Then we got the Fart Blast Yeti, which is the permafrost methane... moment of
and there's a protractor in there,
right? And there's a protractor.
There's definitely, well, protractors are often made of plastic, so maybe
and petrochemicals.
Yeah, something there. Yep, it's there. It's all there. It's definitely there.
Mm. Yeah, yeah.
Oh yeah, 100%.
100%. It's all there.
Well, I mean, global warming. That's all about measuring things in degrees.
We got
right in degrees. You measure degrees on a protractor, different type of degrees, but still,
still,
it's degrees.
Mm. It's a question
it's
of degrees.
There. We got all three words in there.
Yeah,
plus one letter that wasn't even asked.
And then we got friendoscopy van, which is a nurse comes over and brings you a thing so you can look inside each other, you know, after, you can eat also, you know, you can eat, oh, I just had Mary's cake, and then you can get the thing down your throat and you can see Mary's cake in your gut.
Mm, oh, see how it's digesting?
You can watch them vomit while they're getting an endoscopy. Do people vomit while they're getting endoscopies?
You have to do like a few days of not eating. And you do like a special cleanse and stuff.
So you can still go.
Yeah, you can do that. Nothing. Yeah, but nothing will come out, I guess.
Except for bile.
I don't know.
Man, it feels like you're not a guy.
My career as a gastroenterologist was very short and did not include any schooling.
Yeah, right.
And I didn't actually see too many endoscopies. It was mostly all butt stuff.
Yeah, right. Well, I'm really sorry to hear about that. Because I want to know whether when you wheel all those people who have just had an endoscopy through the mouth, whether after that you wheel them all into a room and they're
all
burping.
Oh, no.
Blah, blah, blah. Should we do the song and then?
Yeah, ding 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 ding. My hat on backwards in the sun, having a lot of fun.
Hey, yes.
Brian, thank you so much.
Thank you so much for coming onto the program.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Where can people follow you and find you and, you know, pursue you?
I don't know this.
I'm starting to think that maybe you don't have an ego. Are you egoless? Are you a selfless, sort of egoless person who doesn't seek, you know, riches and fame?
Are you in some way not insecure and desperate for the adulation of the masses, people you've never met?
Do you have inner confidence?
Do you prefer getting messages on Facebook Messenger that are, like, grayed out, where it's from someone you don't know? Or do you prefer getting them from friends who you care about? Because I prefer the ones that are grayed out, like some total stranger. I'm like, a stranger wants to contact me.
What is this?
This could be good.
My life could change greatly after this message.
The latter, definitely. I like the ones from friends,
I'm
for
real
sure.
Glad. That's healthy.
I will mention my podcast,
which
is called While You Were Talking.
Mm-hmm.
You should be able to find it on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, which is... statistically, apparently, where most people are listening to
it. I will put
a link to it
down below.
Is it on Spotify?
It's on Spotify, too. It's on other ones, but according to the data, nobody uses those services.
Shusher has started getting about 20% of its things from Spotify.
Alistair's podcast, Shusher, which if you haven't heard about it, Shusher. It's a meditation podcast.
Guided meditations.
I listened to it last night
when
I needed to fall asleep. Yeah, it was great.
The sleep episodes are the ones where I don't wake people up at the end, and they've been getting bigger downloads.
I just fall asleep before you do the waking up bit, and it's...
Every episode's a sleep episode.
And then you can't get me once I'm out.
That's true. I try. Oh, boy. I should start going, I said wake up! Like that, but I know people don't want that, really. And so, yeah, but whatever. Cool. Well, you can find us on at Two in Tank, and I'm at Alistair TV.
And I'm at Stupid Old Andy.
And
if you want to come to Magma, link's down below.
It would really
help. Book a ticket now. There's seats available.
Yeah, it would really help Andy out.
Yeah. Alistair doesn't need the money.
I don't need this.
Doesn't mean anything.
I don't need this. I mean, I'm unemployed for the next 2 months or whatever, or maybe more. Who knows? And then I've got a wedding to pay for in the middle of it.
Yeah, my wedding.
Eh? But the thing is that I put more priority on Andy's financial issues.
You've been really good to me recently, Alistair, and I thank you for that.
No problem.
And we love you.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
I mean, if you want. It's up to you.
Three in the very large... empty TV studio. How's that for a name?
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.